Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Hey! Hi, everybody! I am the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith. This is a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. He is the king of the cocks, the fire, Robbie Bernstein. And we were just, he was just about to tell me a story, and then the music dropped, and I was like, oh, hold that for an hour and a half. So now, if Rob's a little bit distant throughout this podcast, just know he's holding on to a juicy story that he's going to tell me off the podcast.
I'm not saying a word. I'm you holding guys, on to this story.
You guys don't get to know, but it's it involves, you know, murder and rape and a deep state coup to unseat the president. No, that's what the show involves. Sorry. Hey, so I thought for this episode, because, of course, all the news is still being dominated by the impeachment, and I say that with a question mark at the end of it, impeachment that is going forward against Donald Trump, because it looks like Nancy Pelosi still is unwilling to hold a vote for a formal impeachment inquiry, which I guess she doesn't technically have to do, but she does have to do it in order to have any subpoena power. So as of right now, they're like they want to subpoena people, but it's not an official subpoena. It's just like a letter asking you to come. So like Mike Pompeo and these guys can just say no.
But then they can still get on the news and say that they're withholding.
And they call it
Congress.
That. Yes, it's very it's
slick.
So sinister and
they know
slick.
What they're doing.
It's unbelievable. But something I wanted to spend a little bit of time on today's episode doing, and I thought we would take a step back because you know I'm Dave Big Picture Smith. I like to focus on the big picture.
You gotta step back to see the whole picture.
Yeah, you can't see the big picture if you're too close to
it. I'm an art museum. You stand right next to the big painting. What are you really seeing?
Nothing. A red dot, a green dot, maybe something like that. You step back. Oh my God, it's Monet. He's very talented. Kid could paint. Okay? So I've gotten a little bit of pushback, I would say, in different areas. When I did Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank,
State of the Union,
which I do every year, it's one of my favorite things to do. I always really enjoy it. And I get a great response every year. I'd say about 80% of the response that I get to it is always very positive. But then there is the other 20%. And what I like about it, it's a useful thing for me because and it's impossible not to do this, even though I think I'm less guilty of it than many. But you always end up in 2019, if you're a podcaster who's talking about politics or even going on cable news and shit like that, you end up in a little bit of an echo chamber. You mm-hmm. end up, you know, the audience that I have for this podcast are people who like this show. Not everybody agrees with me completely, but it's certainly not as if you're talking to a random sample of the population. And even if I go on Fox News or something like that, and I, you know, if I say anything, you know, anti-Trump, they're pretty much all against me, and anything pro-Trump, they're pretty much all for me. You kind of know what that audience is. And the truth is that there's not almost nobody who you know who's like your left-wing friend is watching Fox News. And probably not too many of them are listening to Part of the Problem. Although we do have some lefties here, but they're a little bit more of the red-pilled lefty variety. You know, hardcore anti-war, anti-CIA, anti-all that. So they're a little bit more open to this. But when I go on Ari's podcast, it really is a different audience. A lot of them apolitical, or just the type of like, you get a little bit more of a representative representation of like the average voter. Not, maybe not the average voter, because, you know, they got to be degenerates of some sort. They're listening to that, you know, that Jew who will drug his friend and whip his dick out and asshole out at any moment. So, you know, it's a particular group. But I did get some people who gave me some pushback about this thing when I keep talking about the idea of a deep state coup or a deep state attempted coup going on against Donald Trump. Now, and I've even gotten some just from Part of the Problem. And I will say this, first of all, I get it. I get where if you're not paying close attention to this shit and you hear someone say that, it sounds like something Alex Jones would say. It sounds like a conspiracy theory, which, you know, I was watching Tucker Carlson the other night. I've been watching Tucker all week, man. He's been great. He's just been doing a great job on this. In fact, we're going to play a clip from him at one point during the show. And he's done some really just fantastic reporting on the Trump impeachment. But what he said at one point was, he goes, you can't call this a conspiracy because conspiracy implies secrecy. And this is out in the open. So I just want to say that it's not that. But by the way, the term conspiracy theory was intentionally turned into a pejorative. Let me just start by saying this. There's nothing wrong with believing in conspiracy theories. And in fact, you are ignorant if you don't think that there are conspiracies that exist. This is a fact. As Michael Malice likes to point out a lot of times, the founding of this country was a conspiracy. In fact, there were several conspiracies involved in it. It was a conspiracy to overthrow the British. There was a conspiracy to overthrow the Articles of Confederation. And install the Constitution that we have. You know, there's conspiracies all over the place. 9/11 was a conspiracy. But no matter what you believe about 9/11, it was a conspiracy. Whether it was a few pissed off Saudis in Afghanistan, or, you know, it was Dick Cheney.
I always thought the founding of this country was very straightforward. People moved over here and they finally stood up and said, "Tea is gay."
Yeah.
Threw it into the water and they said, "We're not going to sit down and do tea time. We're not going to do any of that stuff."
No, they actually, you understand, Rob, they liked the tea. They just weren't a fan of the taxes that were placed on tea.
I can't support that at all. You know what? Now I'm full anarcho. Fuck the government.
Look at that. Rob's about to start his own country. The tea is gay country. It's so far population one, but they're looking to build.
We'll get people on our side.
All you need is one more person and you've grown by 100%.
And you can drink a shit ton of coffee. No problems with coffee.
I have no problem with coffee.
No problem
with coffee. All the coffee you want. You come right in and Rob's like, "Welcome to my country. Can I get you an espresso? What do you want? A beer?" And you go, I could use a chai latte.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, you fucking piece of shit. There's Rob with two baseball bats, one in each hand. All right. So what I wanted to do in this episode, now we're going to talk more about the impeachment. There's some new developments. Every one of them fucking fascinating. But there's some more developments in the impeachment, so we'll talk about that more. But I wanted to attempt to go back a little bit and try to prosecute this case for anybody who might still be on the fence. And if you're not on the fence, then it's still useful to kind of, you know, refresh your memory in case you don't. There were a few of these clips where I saw a couple of them, or one of them, two of them maybe, I saw on Tucker Carlson the other night, and then a few of the others I was just like kind of going on like a YouTube journey, pulling back and remembering each one of them. And kind of, so when I say that there is a deep state attempted coup against Donald Trump, I don't just throw that out there or say it lightly. I think that there's overwhelming evidence that this is what's happening. And before you can even, you know, kind of argue about how you should feel about this, you kind of have to get that first step covered, that this is in fact what's going on. And I agree with what Tucker Carlson said. It's not a conspiracy in the sense that it's really not a secret. This has pretty much been in front of everybody's eyes. So let's just, what I would ask for anybody who's skeptical about this, try to keep an open mind. And I will try to do the same with your criticism, if you have any after this episode. So for the first clip, we're going to go back in the time machine. This is a fucking fascinating clip. Now, I actually quoted this, I believe, on the last episode or the one before that. It's a Chuck Schumer quote. Now, I remember quoting this because I remembered that he said this, but I hadn't seen the video in quite some time. And it was really amazing to go back and watch it in its full context. So we're going to go back to a time that feels like 300 years ago, but in fact, it wasn't. This is 2017. It's in January. Donald Trump is about to be sworn in. Donald Trump has won the presidential election, but he's not the president yet. He is, in fact, the president-elect. I don't know if you remember, but after Donald Trump won and he was president-elect, he just went around. Donald Trump's such a funny motherfucker. He just kept campaigning.
Dude, you're good. You can relax.
He just kept going and having MAGA speaking tours and just talking about how great his presidency was going to be. But if you can try to remember the moment, the shock that was sent through all of Washington, D.C., and really the whole country. I mean, I genuinely believe that even a lot of the really hardcore Trump supporters thought probably Hillary Clinton was going to be president.
The most religious of nuns went, wait, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody didn't say what the fuck that night.
Went, well, spank me on the ass. And it was like, you are a filthy nun. Now, try to keep in mind, this is when you see, videos of Hillary supporters screaming in the streets and covering their face in period blood. And, you ever watch any of those video compilations of like the media pundits reacting to Donald Trump winning? They're
live on air.
I
remember watching CNN that night, and it was just like watching people sniff their own farts, but somebody else's farts, so they actually smell bad. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was a weird analogy to use for that. Rachel Maddow was one of these people, and she was beside herself. You can go watch the videos as it's being announced, and she at one point was close to crying, and she had this really embarrassing rant on our show the next day where she was like, you can pinch yourself, you're not asleep, you're not in a dream, this is our life, this is life now, you haven't died and gone to hell. Like, shit, this was her reaction. People were really just so beside themselves that Trump had been elected.
Colbert, I think, had like a whole didn't he have a whole party on Showtime or something where they were supposed to broadcast it, and then it got weird at the end because he's actually able to talk his mind. What was funny with the news anchors was they can't like stand there and go, oh, we fucked up, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? They just have to report it, and you can just read on their face how pissed off they are.
Yeah,
but it's not like they're, you know, they could only editorialize so much live, which is what made it so fun to watch.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun watching the Young Turks compilation and the MSNBC, the CNN one. They're all great. But this is a couple months after that. And Donald Trump is about to be sworn in as president. And, you know, so Rachel Maddow has Chuck Schumer on the show. And they ask him a whole bunch of stuff. It's like he's going to be the Senate minority leader now, the highest ranking Democrat in the Senate. They ask him about what he's going to do going forward. You know, they're talking a bit about how, you can't do policy by tweet, and Donald Trump's going to have to blah, blah, blah. If you want to go watch it, it's up on YouTube. But at one point then, something really interesting happens, like really, really fucking interesting. Rachel Maddow, and this is a live show, so Rachel Maddow presents Chuck Schumer with something that Trump had just tweeted. Now, you can tell by the way this is set up, and actually, if you go back and look at the time of the tweet, it happened after the show had already started live. So Chuck Schumer has not seen this. He hasn't thought about what he's going to say. It's not like all these other generic questions that they throw at a guy like Chuck Schumer where you've got a scripted answer. This is a real moment where Chuck Schumer did something that he almost never does. And he blurted out the truth. And that's what's really interesting about this. So we're going to go to our first clip here, which is Chuck Schumer on the Rachel Maddow Show, January 2017.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying, the president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Okay. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know,
to?
But from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Do you think he has an agenda to try?
I mean, there's just so much juice on that bone. Right. Yeah. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't even known about this Russian hacking thing that turned out to be not true.
But of course, that's like the idea that this is what you have to say, well, but we need them because we wouldn't have known about some Facebook ads that have been, you know.
Otherwise, the elected official might actually be able to do his job.
Right. This is the best you've got to why we need the intelligence community. But look, what's far crazier than that is that Chuck Schumer just says, oh, you want to take on the intelligence community? You want to mess with the CIA, motherfucker? They will fuck you up. I mean, that's not an exact quote, but it's a lot better than a Adam Schiff, in essence, what he said here, quote. That's what he's saying. You take on the CIA will fuck you up. You don't do that. And then he says, I've been told. This is the most powerful Democrat in the Senate. I've been told. You know, I've heard that the intelligence community is very upset by the way Donald Trump's been talking about them. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did he hurt their feelings? This is, you know, the CIA serves the president, supposedly. That's supposed to be the way this bullshit system works.
Not when they're upset, they
but
don't.
But they will just straight up tell you. This is not I'm reading between the lines. I've seen the documents, but you haven't seen the documents. This is what's going out on MSNBC's number one show, their biggest show, the Rachel Maddow show. There, Rachel Maddow's Hour. What's going out is you're not allowed to say unkind things about our spies, or they will fuck you up. Now, it's interesting that already by this point, Donald Trump seems to have smelled that the deep state was out to get him. He already was like, there's some fucking shady shit going on here. And he's telling him, man, you play ball with these people. Imagine that. One of those powerful senators in the world, one of those powerful people in the world, one of the most powerful people in the Senate, is just saying publicly, you do not say anything about the CIA. You mind your P's and Q's when they come up, because they're more powerful than all of us. They've got six ways till Sunday to screw you over. So you watch out what you ever say about them. Another thing to pay attention to here is that Rachel Maddow is this supposed progressive. I mean, this is somebody who you would think, if you had one of the most powerful senators in front of you saying nobody can criticize the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, or they will ruin you, that might warrant like a follow-up question. Let's just say you were pretending to be a journalist and you had the Senate minority leader say that to you. Wouldn't that Jesus Christ, me and Rob, we're just a couple idiot comedians, but you would know well enough, I would know well enough, just in terms of doing your job, good television, good, like, news. If you had a senator say something like that to you, you'd be like, wait, what? You're telling me you can't even criticize these people? And how exactly are they going to screw you over? So he says, well, we need the intelligence community. I mean, we wouldn't have even known about Russian hacking. Where would we all be? What would you think? Honestly, people who listen to this show, I want you to take an honest look at your life, your family, your friends, your job. What would it be like if you didn't know about the Russian hacking?
I don't like the
imagine.
Look of it.
Imagine we didn't have that. And then what? You would just get to democratically elect your president and then he would serve his term? Can you imagine that? This sounds like a nightmare.
So
this is what he's saying. Now let's keep playing because they take it one step further.
Try to dismantle parts of the intelligence community? I mean, this form of taunting hostility.
Whether you're a super liberal Democrat or a very conservative Republican, you should be against dismantling the intelligence community.
Senator Charles Schumer of New York, as of today.
Okay. So there, no matter who you are, no matter what your politics are, you have to be for the CIA. Chuck Schumer of New York. All right, everybody, that's the follow-up question to that. We all have to blindly be for the CIA. Well, I am neither a super liberal Democrat nor a super conservative Republican, and I'm kind of for dismantling the CIA. And you know what? I think there's actually a decent amount of people out there who would probably agree with that. But that's unbelievable. I mean, talk about Tom Woods, where he says there's the 3x5 index card of allowable opinion. That's what Chuck Schumer just laid out for you. Listen, whether you're way over on this side or way over on this side, we all agree the CIA can't be questioned. That's where we're saying. But just to, so that is Exhibit A. By the way, I'm not, because I don't have time to on one podcast, I'm not prosecuting the entire case of why the deep state is at war with Donald Trump. I just picked these at random today. But there you have Chuck Schumer, the top Democrat in the Senate, telling you that if you criticize the intelligence community, if you do what Trump just did, they have 6 ways till Sunday. Isn't that what he said? 6 ways till Sunday to get back at you. So that's just the threat right there. But hey, I mean, that's just a senator speculating.
Even the CIA takes off one day for the Lord.
Yeah. That's a...
They'll fuck you over for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they'll rest.
Oh, you're lucky you dissed me on a Sunday. You better enjoy Sunday night football tonight, because Monday morning, 8 a.m. sharp. Traffic's bad in D.C., 8:15, but still, you're getting it. Okay, but that's just, you know, hey, that's just one, you know, very powerful senator's opinion. Who knows what the deep state is actually doing to fuck over Donald Trump? All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Wix.com. That is the better way to build websites for your clients. With Wix, you can harness the latest web technology and innovative design tools to deliver professional results. Start with a blank page and design the layout you want. Grow their business with a custom online store, out-of-the-box booking system, and live chat. With Wix, you can publish in a click, and it makes edits super fast. Your clients will enjoy enterprise-grade security and automatic web hosting. Use industry-leading SEO and powerful marketing tools to drive traffic to their site. Get started on your next client's website today. Go to wix.com/POTP. That's wix.com/POTP. Wix. Scale your web business. So now let's go to 60 Minutes with Andrew McCabe, who is talking about same year, 2017, okay, when he became the acting director of the FBI. And he's talking about his conversations with Rod Rosenstein, who was, I believe, the number two at the Justice Department. And let's listen to him from 60 Minutes.
But McCabe says Rosenstein raised another idea. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution allows the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to remove the president.
A discussion of the 25th Amendment was simply Rod raised the issue and discussed it with me in the context of thinking about how many other cabinet officials might support such an effort. I didn't have much to contribute, to be perfectly honest, in that conversation, so I listened to what he had to say. But to be fair, it was an unbelievably stressful time. I can't even describe for you how many things must have been coursing through the Deputy Attorney General's mind at that point. So it was really something that he kind of threw out in a very frenzied, chaotic conversation about where we were and what we needed to do next.
What seemed to be coursing through the mind of the Deputy Attorney General was getting rid of the President of the United States.
Well,
one way or another.
I can't confirm that, but what I can say is the Deputy Attorney General was definitely very concerned about the president, about his capacity, and about his intent at that point in time.
How did he bring up the idea of the 25th Amendment to you?
Honestly, I don't remember. It was just another kind of topic that he jumped to in the midst of...
All right, let's pause it right there. So it is funny how the interviewer there I'm blanking on his name, but the 60 Minutes guy just go, sounds like what anybody listening to what you just said would probably think. Sounds like the FBI was talking about getting rid of the president any way they could. And then he goes, well, how did he bring this up to you? And he goes, it was just another thing. Now that is, I'm sorry, that is a pretty incredible response to the conversation you're talking about. Like, if you were to ask me about, say, Rob, right? Like, some conversation that we had last year. And I go, oh yeah, Rob mentioned at one point, you know, something about he's going to go get a sandwich. And you were like, how did it come up? And I'd be like, I don't know exactly. Rob talks about sandwiches all day long, every day. Like, I don't know exactly what. But if I go, you know, Rob told me he was going to murder a man last year. And you go, how did it come up? And I go, well, it was just another conversation. I go, it's like, wow, that's, you're telling me that the two of the highest level people at the Justice Department were discussing removing the then newly elected president of the United States. And you're like, hey, it was just a frenzied conversation, one of a lot of things. It's like, wow, you must have had a lot of conversations about removing the president. That this was just one of many instances, a frenzied conversation. It was a crazy environment. You know, you got to remember, it was crazy. We had a new FBI director. I mean, yeah, we were talking about removing the president. It's like, okay. Well, doesn't that fit interestingly with Chuck Schumer's comment?
Didn't also Rod Rosenstein, wasn't he the one that talked Jeff Sessions into stepping, recusing himself from the Russia collusion investigations?
It might be. Hey, bro, would you grab me the fucking jewel charger that's out there? One second. I don't remember if it was Rosenstein who convinced Sessions to recuse. You might be right about that.
But either way, yeah. It looks like they were having a meeting on how do we get this guy out of office, and that's not really your job. I think the voters are supposed to decide on who gets the office. And
at least that's what I've been told. But at least in your third grade, you know, fifth grade, eighth grade civics class, they probably wouldn't tell you, if the way that American government works. Thank you, brother.
But it's different when the CIA gets upset. You know, they're emotional, yeah. And we got to make sure that they're okay. I mean,
well, if you were like, but in like an eighth grade civics class, if you were like, well, how do we elect presidents? They'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, there's like every state holds, elections, and then the electoral college votes decide who ultimately will be the president of the United States. And, that's how it works. Congress can impeach the president if he's committed high crimes and misdemeanors. And then every 4 years we have a presidential election. But if you hurt the feelings of our spies, they can also just overthrow you. I don't ever remember that last part being taught, but maybe I'll be honest. I was never a very good student, so maybe that is part of the game also. But more or less, that's to Tucker Carlson's point, that's not really a conspiracy in the sense that it's not secret. I guess you could say at the time it was a conspiracy, but they're just telling you. They're like, hey. Now, Andrew McCabe also said in that interview later where they go, well, what evidence did you have against the president? They said basically everything that was out in the open. So they're not operating on any like, oh, we had this secret evidence.
Guessing how many people would support it is the definition of a like, do we have enough people here that we can overthrow the guy in power? Yeah, that's called a coup, I think. Isn't that? Yeah,
that's would cooing. Be a coup d'etat.
That's getting your coup on.
Yeah. I hate to bring in French words into this conversation, but you're cooing pretty hard right there. you're cooing up a storm. So this is, just a couple more pieces. And of course, if you people who listen to the show, I know who have listened for the last year, we've played that last clip we played before on the show, but I just think it's good to go back and refresh and kind of, like I said a couple podcasts ago, to frame the issue, see exactly what's going on here.
Pretty soon we get post-Russia collusion, and then we get that CNN apology for a lying test for 2 years. That's coming up soon.
Well, It's we don't actually have that clip ready, but it is coming up soon. Okay. Every day I watch CNN and I'm still waiting, and I'm sure they're going to.
I mean, they waste
our
time for 2 years.
Right, but I just think they want to deliver such a good apology that they're really working on
it. All right,
I
buy
that.
Yeah,
so it's going to be like really well written.
Because they really wasted a lot of our time and energy, got to get that apology right.
There's no way CNN would do that and then not give us an apology.
That makes sense.
All right, the next character that I wanted to introduce into this would be John Brennan,
ooh,
who of course was the CIA director under Barack Obama. So this is the CIA director at the beginning of all of this stuff going down, when Donald Trump is the candidate, when he's, you know, wins the nomination, and when he gets elected. This is the director of the CIA. So here is John Brennan. Now, this is just going just last year, John Brennan talking to Lawrence O'Donnell just a week before the Mueller investigation wrapped up.
Here's John Brennan. March, when he is going to be delivering what I think are going to be his indictments, the final indictments, as well as the report that he gives to the Attorney General.
What makes you believe that he has more indictments?
Because he hasn't addressed the issues related to criminal conspiracy, as well as any individuals.
Criminal conspiracy involving the Russian
influence? Russians, yes, yeah. I think it was very, U.S. person.
That's an area you know something about. That investigation was developing while you were still on the job.
Well, it was, in terms of looking at what was going on with the Russians and whether or not U.S. persons were actively collaborating, colluding, cooperating, and involved in a conspiracy with them or not. But also, if there's going to be any member of the
Trump
family.
Did you see enough at that stage to believe that there would now, that would result in indictments once investigated?
I thought at the time that there was going to be individuals who were going to have issues with the Department of Justice. Yes, and I think we've already seen a number of individuals who have been indicted, either have pled guilty or have been convicted now. So, again, I don't have any inside knowledge. I'm not talking with anybody in the special counsel.
Yes, you do. You have the inside knowledge.
But not
what,
about the status of the investigation right now. Yeah. But I do think also if anybody from the Trump family, an extended family, is going to be indicted, it would be in the final act of Mueller's investigation, because Bob Mueller and I think his team knows that if he were to do something, indicting a Trump family member, or if he were to go forward with indictment on criminal conspiracy involving U.S. persons, that would basically be the death knell of the special counsel's office, because I don't believe that Donald Trump would allow Bob Mueller to continue in the aftermath of those types of actions.
John Brennan, thank you very much.
Right.
You have to listen to every word in the John Brennan answer. Thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
You really
it.
Do. Thanks. Yeah, you really do, Lawrence O'Donnell. And by the way, just one thing to note before we even break down what the former CIA director just said right there. Just the attitude of Lawrence O'Donnell, who's interviewing the former CIA director. This is your news media. You know, it's like, thank you so much. Oh, you know everything. Man, you really got to listen to this guy. He's just so great. That is how the media sees their role of covering the CIA. Now, what did John Brennan say there? Well, he's kind of a spook about it. I mean, he manages to kind of cover his ass. But are there going to be people indicted, you know, relating to conspiracy with Russia? And he goes, well, I think there will be U.S. persons who have some issues with the Justice Department. Yes. And we've already seen a lot of U.S. persons who've had issues with the Justice Department. Right. But nothing to do with conspiracy with Russia. Oh, it's going to be Donald Trump's family is going to get arrested. Donald Trump will shut down the investigation before they can get the indictments off. So he's got to get the indictments at the last minute. And then what did we get? Nothing. Now, remember, this is the same John Brennan who came out a year before this and said that Donald Trump's guilty of treason. Now, of course, the Mueller investigation found that Donald Trump's guilty of nothing and not even indicted for anything. But the CIA director had already told you he's guilty of treason. The punishment for treason, do you remember what the punishment for treason is? It's, I think it's probation. It might be death. That's the punishment for treason. Oh, yes, death. They kill you. The CIA director basically came out and said, Donald Trump's going to get killed by the state, you know, after a legal process and all that. But it's worth noting. It's worth trying to put all of these little pieces of information together to understand what's actually going on here. Now, there's another person that I want to introduce into this group.
Did you say anything weird about the fact that they were already onto this while he was still working with Obama?
Well, he kind of like gave a vague spy answer, but he goes, yes, I saw many things that would indicate that there will be U.S. persons who will have issues with the law. It's like, oh, okay.
But that's at the beginning of the campaign even. Isn't that what he's referring to? Because that's when
Obama was electing him. It was toward the end of the campaign. So
right.
2016 into very early 2017.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
But just in terms of timeline, that sounds like about when the FISA court shit would have happened, where Trump was being claimed.
Yes. Oh,
hey,
yeah, yeah, yeah. In 2016. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, well, Brandon might have had some.
It wasn't until 2017 that Trump claimed they were spying on him, but the spying occurred earlier in 2016. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. Thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetDSI. BetDSI.com, the place for online gambling. BetDSI has been around for over 20 years. They're top rated on business review sites, super easy to use, fast playing interface, and you can bet games as they go. You get live in-game wagering options, which is a lot of fun. You walk into a bar, the game's already started, but you can throw a few bucks on it in the middle. They've got great customer service available 24/7, 365, and BetDSI has built a reputation on fast payment of winnings. I love this site. I've had a lot of fun gambling on BetDSI.com. Now, as is my tradition here, I give some picks. So here we go. Let me tell you, all right? Coming up in the UFC... middleweight title fight, Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya. This is a tough one to pick. A lot of the pros are real split between this one. I'm going to tell you, I like Israel Adesanya in this fight. I just think the way they match up, I think he's a pure striker. Whittaker is going to try to strike with him, and I think Israel is going to find a way to get this done. So go put your money on Whittaker, because I have surely just jinxed Israel Adesanya. But if you go to BetDSI.com, which is where you're going to bet on this, make sure you use the promo code POTP120 so they know we sent you. When you sign up, you have some options. You can just play and cash out whenever you want to, or you can take the bonus money. If you take the bonus money, there are rollover requirements, but it's free cash. But you have to bet a certain amount before you can withdraw it. But if you use promo code POTP120, they're going to give you a 60% bonus cash on your deposit. So if you deposit $1,000, you have $1,600 to play with. Either way, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code POTP120. Have some fun, win some money. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, so one other person that I want to bring into this mix here that's an interesting guy I just wanted to play this clip, and it kind of ties into what we were saying, but it's more just to establish who this guy is. And that's Phil Mudd, who is a CIA guy who works at CNN now. But, you know, it's Phil Mudd. That could describe the entire CNN staff. So I'm just talking about this one guy, Phil Mudd. Now, Phil Mudd, the reason I wanted to bring him in is because he said something the other day that caught my mind. But as we're going back and we're looking at some of these things, let's not also forget that there was a scandal about a year and a half ago, when, if you remember this, Rob, where Donald Trump decided that he wanted to revoke the security clearances of a whole bunch of former deep state agents. John Brennan, the guy who was saying he's guilty of treason and his family's going to go to jail and he's going to be murdered. That was one of them. Clapper, who you know, was the guy who famously lied to Congress about the NSA spying. Comey, you know, the guy who he fired after trying to blackmail him. There are a bunch of these people who he was like, I don't want them knowing what's going on. I don't want them having access to these secrets. And this
got them all worked up.
Oh my God, did this get people worked up, right? I mean, you know, if you thought just when he was president-elect, just tweeting things about, you know, intelligence in quotes, if Chuck Schumer was like, this is going to get you all fucked up, well, what about when you're actually starting to fuck with some of their power? That's going to be a whole thing. It should also be kept in mind that Donald Trump did very shortly. Okay, so as I mention all the time, John Brennan, who ran the CIA when we had that little program that armed Al-Qaeda in Syria, Donald Trump ended that program very shortly after becoming president. That was another thing that I think they were not so thrilled about. But let's go to this. Here's Phil Mudd, and he was I remember this one always stuck out in my mind. It's an interesting gauge of how they were responding to Donald Trump talking about revoking people's security clearances. It also is a little insight into exactly who this guy Phil Mudd is. So let's play this next clip.
Last night's statement from the 12, then the 13, and now the 15 intelligence chiefs and deputies was followed late today by a statement from 60 other former intelligence professionals. I just want to highlight a few of those names and their accomplishments so you could get a better sense of the caliber and the sacrifice and the service of these men and women. Let's start with Greg Vogel. He's the former CIA Deputy Director for Operations. He was in charge of covert ops, and he's credited with saving the life of the Afghan president Hamid Karzai during a friendly fire strike in Afghanistan just after 9/11. Remember that. There is Letitia Long. She's the former director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. She's the first woman to head a U.S. intelligence agency. There is the highly decorated Jeremy Bash, and there is also CNN counterterrorism analyst Phil Mudd, long history in counterterrorism, who joins us now.
All right, let's pause it already. Once again, just notice, this is how the corporate press covers the deep state. So 75 deep state agents came out and criticized the president's decision to revoke security clearances. And he just goes, look, man, I mean, you got 75 people here criticizing the president. Now, I know 63 million people voted for him, but those are just like fucking, you know, American citizens. We got 75 CIA or NSA FBI members here who are criticizing him. Now, let me go through the list of these great American heroes. This is how CNN, with a straight face, will cover the CIA. I mean, spend a half hour on Google familiarizing yourself with the history of the CIA and what these motherfuckers have done. And then imagine that the cable news network, this is how they cover them. I mean, if we had state media, like state authoritarian media, could they do a better job? It really is something. It's something to watch. Well, this one guy saved President Karzai in Afghanistan. And then he just throws in there after, from a friendly fire mission. You're like, oh, okay. So what did he do? He went, hey, guys, this is us. Stop shooting at us. We're all in anyway. But so, yes, these are like these angels who are above criticism. And if they say it, then it better be true. But I will say, to this guy's credit, they did have a Trump supporter on with Phil Mudd. So let's play the rest of this because it gets interesting.
Commentator Paris Denard. Phil, since you are one of those who signed your name to that list, the second letter coming from former intelligence officials today, tell me why you and your colleagues went public today challenging, protesting the president's actions.
I don't understand, Jim, why we keep talking about security clearances. This is not about security clearances. My peers on that letter spent our lives. I joined in 85 fighting countries, the North Koreans, looking at other adversaries or potential adversaries, the Chinese, the Russians. These countries, one of the common characteristics they have is people who want to speak out because they have views that don't correspond with the views of government are either sidelined or, in some cases, if you look at Vladimir Putin, murdered. This is not about security clearances. This is about the president trying to intimidate people to say, you're a dog and I'll muzzle you. We spent our career saying that we're fighting for the right of 330 million Americans to speak, and the president said no. That will never happen in this country. All of us will speak until we are dragged away. I don't care what I say. I don't care what John Brennan says. I have the right to say it. I don't care whether the president likes it or not, if it's Bush, if it's Obama, if it's Trump, I have the right to say it. That's the reason we wrote that letter.
Can we pause it?
Yes. Yeah. Wow, that was powerful, man.
Well, I don't exactly remember the revoking of security clearances having any tie-ins with free speech or what you are and aren't allowed to say. Did I miss something?
No, I mean, now that he puts it like that, it's like, wow, I don't want anyone to be muzzled like a dog or not have the freedom of speech in this country anymore. And this guy's about to be dragged away for saying something, or says, I don't care what John Brennan says or I say, we have the right to say it. Whew. All right, maybe I'm getting this thing all wrong. I mean, Donald Trump's cracking down on free speech. Let's just listen to what the other guy says in response to that, because obviously he'd have to agree with him, right? I mean, he doesn't want that either.
Ask you, longtime Trump supporter, who should the American people trust? Who should the American people listen to on this issue? 75 men and women who have
served. Hold on, wait, I can answer that question real quick. None of them.
Well, also,
none of you guys. Definitely not Donald Trump, and definitely not a bunch of CIA fucking people. That's not who I trust. I don't know what to tell you.
Also,
because I mean, listen, the CIA, if you know anything about their history, they do have a long history of telling the truth. That is one thing that the CIA is always known for. Straight shooters. Straight from the hip. If something's up, they tell you. They're like, look, you know, sometimes they won't tell you the whole truth. And then you go, are you lying to me? And they go, ah, all right, you got me. This rule number one of the CIA is you do not tell a lie. That's being a spy. First day, first lesson, always tell the truth. So you would think you can trust them. But I still err on the side of not trusting spies and also not trusting Donald Trump. How about that?
In addition to that, you know, he's saying, hey, we've been at war with Russia and China. Well, we can vote for people who don't think that we need to be at war with Russia and China.
Or can we?
Yeah. Well, he says not. He says that's people being muzzled and thrown away like dogs. But I'm pretty sure the way the democratic process is supposed to work is that people can go, hey, we don't really need to be at war with these countries. Why don't we cooperate with them, trade, get all their cheap shit, and send all of our shitty jobs over there. We can make those decisions. We're allowed to.
You know, as somebody who's never been a big believer in the democratic process, or who's not a big believer in the democratic process, when I say that, a lot of people think that's a crazy claim to make. And when they explain how it works, it seems to be along the lines of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and right away, the way CNN handles this, obviously he's going, well, who should we trust? I mean, the 75, you know, honorable men and women who I just told you about how great they were, or this lying president? And obviously, you know what the answer is, right? Like, he's not asking an honest question. He's saying, well, obviously, we should trust the CIA. That's the position of CNN. It's not my position. Oh, don't trust any of them. It's not a Trump supporter's position. I trust Donald Trump. It's support the also, goddamn deep state. That's who you trust.
To put a little bit more of a frame on this, you have people that no longer work at the CIA that are now on CNN every night trashing you. So they don't need security clearances. Let's look back. He was having an issue with whistleblowers. So the fact that you have someone
He's the whole time. Yes.
Yeah. I'm just saying. So like they don't work at the CIA anymore. They work for another institution that's doing nothing but trashing you and your job. Why would you invite them into your organization to see what? Like, of course you wouldn't do.
Seems
that.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep playing.
And continue to serve their country, who have served both Republican and Democratic presidents, I might add, or the president on this. Who's right?
Well, I think they are both right. I think that
the president's trying to silence them. In this case, one has to be right, because they're saying the president was wrong to remove the security clearance under threat of taking away people's voice here.
What we have seen since John Brennan's security clearance has been revoked is that nobody's voice has been silenced. Mr. Cohen came on your program, said whatever he wanted to. Others have come on and said exactly what they want to. They continue to be contributors on cable news. They continue to tweet as they wish. Phil Mudd came on this program tonight and said he won't be silenced. So the idea that somehow revoking their security clearance is going to silence them is not true. So they're still talking.
Why is the president doing it?
You know, hold on. Let's pause it there.
Silences them from leaking.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, this guy kind of makes a good point, because that guy who he said was silenced just spoke for a while.
On the
so
news.
So he wasn't really that silenced. I mean, he's being broadcast to airports all around this country right now on the cable news network. So, yeah, maybe that's not the proper way to frame this question. All right, let's keep going.
What you have to look at is the idea of norms and laws and privileges and rights. And these are all getting confused under this administration, with people thinking that because something was a norm means that it's law. That's not the case. A lot of these people that have these security clearances, and this is the secret in the swampy Washington, D.C., they have them and they keep them because it's profitable for them after they leave government. Because if you have a security clearance, especially high-level security clearances, your contracts and your consulting gigs pay you a lot more money because of the access that you have. I hope the president continues to do this, and I hope he adds Omarosa to the list, because if she has a clearance, she too, because of her actions, should have it revoked.
Well, I don't know if I'd put Omarosa in the same category of the 75 people who signed those letters, but Phil Mudd,
Wait. That is a really good point. I would not put Omarosa in the same category as those people. Omarosa never armed Al-Qaeda. far more trustworthy than John Brennan. But that was a real interesting little thing. I mean, you're not supposed to say that. Oh, shit, you're not supposed to say that a whole bunch of these people who have security clearances go and get gigs in the private sector that pay them a lot more because they have access to all of this information now. And now they can fucking have a guy there. Well, maybe that's part of how CNN gets all these, you know, breaking stories about what people in the intelligence community are saying. Ooh, interesting. Phil Mudd seems angry. Let's hear his response.
Iraq.
Profitable, Paris. When I am requested to sit on an advisory board, let me ask you one question. How much do you think I'm paid to do that at the request of the U.S. government? Give me one answer and you got 10 seconds. How much?
I'll ask you a question. How much are you paid for your contracting gig?
I have no contract with the U.S. government that pay money.
I'm not talking.
Zero.
And this is the thing.
When I'm asked to offer advice to the U.S. government,
let's be honest.
Zero.
Phil, let's be
That's
honest.
It.
I'm not talking about your role with the federal government. I'm talking about
the contracting gigs that you get from being a consultant
and a contractor. The consulting firms that they form and that you all get is because you get more money when having a consultant before having the security clearance.
That
Stop acting like that doesn't happen.
I have zero consulting relationships with the U.S. government. Zero.
I'm not talking, Phil, that's a good talking point. I'm not talking about relationships with the government. I'm talking about in the private sector. When you have a security clearance and you keep it.
I have zero relationships with the private sector that involve my security clearance. Zero. I get $0 from consulting companies that deal with the U.S. government. Are we clear?
Well, I will be clear in saying that everybody in Washington, D.C. knows if you don't want to be honest about it, that's on you. But if you have a security clearance and you keep it, you
We're
get
done,
more
Jim.
Money to
We're
have
done.
It.
We're done. Get out.
Phil,
it's not your show, so I'm staying right here. Don't be so defensive about this. Don't be so defensive about this. Your voice is still here. You can still do whatever you want. But the politicalization of the intelligence community under this administration, with the people coming on here every day, tweeting and talking about this administration, you all have made it about politics, not the president.
Let's take a beat here for a second. And Phil, I appreciate your patience because I know it's getting personal here. Paris, I do a point of fact here.
It's all right.
And Phil
it's
makes
right.
a point, which is a point of fact. When a Phil Mudd, who serves on an advisory board for counterterror threats, goes and participates in conversations mm-hmm. at the agency about those threats, he's not getting paid for that.
And that's all
when
I'm talking
Bill
about.
When Bill McRaven is consulted on counterterror operations because he led dozens of
okay,
missions.
Okay, so we can pause
missions.
It there, and that's all that I wanted to get to about that video. But what an interesting little glimpse into the way this whole thing works and into that guy Phil Mudd's mind. So, first of all, he's just outraged. I mean, this is a guy who does CNN shows all the time, but you don't fucking talk about this shit. And he actually, I almost have to respect the balls in him, he kicks this guy off a show that isn't his show. Can you imagine just being on someone else's show and just kicking someone off? Because you're like, get out! Get out! You don't dare bring up something that everybody knows is true. And then, what does the CNN host do? Well, he doesn't react. You think the normal reaction would be like, well, you can't kick someone off my show. I'm having both of you guys on. And this guy just said something that we all know is true. So, no. And like, hey, we're trying to have a conversation here. Stop screaming at people, like, because you don't like what he said. He also yells at him about how he doesn't get government money. But yeah, that was never really the point that the guy was making. Anyway, just wanted to point out that was how it was covered, and that's who that guy is. When Donald Trump said he was going to revoke some security clearances, this is how the media reacts to any type of moves against the CIA, against the deep state. A little bit creepy. All right, guys, let's take a quick second to let you know about our favorite sponsor, Infinite CBD. I've been using this stuff for a long time. Everybody I know uses this and has gotten a lot of benefits out of it. I love the Freezing Point topical cream. It's great for pain relief and it reduces inflammation. I've benefited a lot from that. As you guys know, I've had some neck and shoulder problems over the last year. It's really helped me out far more than anything else that I've done for it. The Freezing Point topical cream has really helped me out. Infinite CBD has the cleanest, healthiest, and purest form of CBD available anywhere. anywhere. Hemp grows organically in Colorado, and that's where they get their pure CBD isolate, which tests at over 99% CBD. If you still haven't tried CBD, research has shown that it helps with a variety of ailments, including insomnia, anxiety, depression, many others. Infinite CBD has a whole bunch of products, so make sure you go to their website, infinitecbd.com. See which one of their products can help you live a healthier life. It's infinitecbd.com, and if you use the promo code POTP15, they're going to give you 15% off your entire order. This is an unbelievable product at a great discount, so go check it out, infinitecbd.com, promo code POTP15 for 15% off. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, let's go to the next clip that we have up here. Which is, I believe, the Tucker Carlson one. Is that the next one? So this is from Tucker's show last night, and he played a couple clips. I was trying to find these clips independently, but I couldn't. So let's just play this, because Tucker, as I mentioned, has been doing some really fantastic journalism on this this story. So let's take a look at this.
Yesterday, former CIA Director John Brennan expressed outrage that anyone would dare impose oversight on the intelligence agencies that secretly oversee our lives.
I'm supposedly going to be interviewed by Mr. Durham as part of this non-investigation. I remember William Barr, you know, when he was testifying in front of Congress, he said he didn't understand the predication of the counterintelligence investigation that was launched into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. I don't understand the predication of this worldwide effort to try to uncover dirt, either real or imagined, that would discredit that investigation in 2016 into Russian interference.
All right, let's pause
John
it there.
Brennan is a-
so there is John Brennan. Now, of course,
real
what he's,
or imagined.
What he's referring to is that it's come out more and more over the last few days that it looks like the Attorney General Barr has actually really been trying to investigate the origins of the Russian collusion hoax. And he's been doing this on a worldwide stage. He's not just doing this through the American government. He's going all around to different governments around the world, in Europe, in Eastern Europe particularly, and trying to get to the bottom of this. And John Brennan is like, well, you don't understand what that – you're saying you don't understand what the Russia investigation was predicated on. Well, I don't understand what this investigation's predicated on. Well, all right. Let's take a shot at that. Take a quick shot at that. Okay. So Donald Trump, the president of the United States, who was duly elected, feel however you feel about the system, feel however you feel about Donald Trump. Those things are facts. Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and he was duly elected. His administration, for the first 2 years of his administration and for the year preceding it, were under investigation for Donald Trump colluding being involved in a conspiracy with the Russians. This turned out to be not true. Turned out there was no evidence of this. No charges were brought. It was started by opposition research that was all completely, in the FBI's words, salacious and unverified. Okay? And it was used by his political enemies to box him in from getting his agenda achieved. Okay? So that's why people have questions about the origins of that investigation. This investigation that you're talking about is because of what I just said. That you're able to spy on a president's administration, go through his entire cabinet, throw people in jail for every charge you can find going back for the last 20 years or lying to the FBI or any charges that came up after the investigation started, like lying to the FBI or misremembering an email or a date or a business appointment. If you can do all that, you might want to look into what allowed you to do that. Like, doesn't there have to be some bar that you have to pass before you can just do that to a politician who you don't like, to the opposition party? So that's the difference. And as you mentioned, Rob, I thought you picked up right away on what was the most interesting thing that he said in there. He said, whether real or imagined. Wait, so you're telling me if it was real, we still shouldn't investigate this? I mean, well, if John Brennan says so, oh, wait, John Brennan would be directly implicated in all of that. So he can just decide, no, I don't think so. You know, it's like if you killed somebody and then they're like, well, we're opening a murder investigation. And you're like, look, what's the point of this investigation if you're going to find some evidence, whether real or imagined, that I murdered somebody? Like, well, I don't know if we want to listen to you about this one. Because you're in kind of a tough spot to be objective. All right, let's keep playing Tucker Carlson.
He's a naked partisan. He's a liar. He's acted in ways that would have shocked and horrified previous CIA directors, and that's saying a lot. But John Brennan is not ashamed. Far from it. He's proud. And so are his many acolytes in Washington. Phil Mudd is a former CIA employee. Like so many partisans from intelligence world, he's now a contributor at CNN. Last night, Mudd sent an on-air warning to the president and his lawyer. Back off or prepare to get hurt.
I spent a lot of time in government. There are State Department officials who will testify, intel guys, DOD, Department of Defense people. All of us are sort of a brotherhood and sisterhood. Rudy Giuliani parachutes in from Mars. The people who will testify are going to look at him, including State Department officials, and say, I don't have to protect that guy. He didn't operate by the rules. He didn't do what you're supposed to do in government. I suspect he's worried about what the Congress will do. If I were him, I'd be worried about whether people in government stick a shiv in his back. He's in trouble.
Huh.
All right. So let's pause it there. Can I just say, Phil Mudd seems like a lovely guy. Seems like a really, really nice guy. He's been furious since that last clip that we played a year and a half ago until this one right now. But that's their attitude. And this, by the way, if you notice from Chris Cuomo's face there, gets no type of like, wait, what did you just say? What the hell did you just say? So when you tell me that I'm like a little kooky for thinking there's this deep state conspiracy against Donald Trump, here is former CIA analyst telling you there's a deep state conspiracy against Donald Trump. He goes, all of these people in the DOD, in the CIA, in the FBI, we're a brotherhood. We protect each other. They're going to look at Giuliani and go, you're not part of the deep state. We don't have to protect you. You might get a shiv in the back. Now, I'll grant him the assumption that he's saying metaphorically, a shiv in the back. But you never know with the CIA. When they're talking about a shiv in the back, it might be literal. But this is their attitude. And so just don't. And okay, now these are just a handful of clips that I picked out today. There's we wouldn't have time in a 5-hour podcast to go through every one of them. My point here is that it is, I think, to any honest, informed person watching, undeniable that something's going on here between the deep state, the shadow government, and Donald Trump. Okay? And if you can't see that, I don't think you're looking at this soberly and assessing the objective facts in front of you. Okay? This is all happening. And then if you accept that, right? Like, because I'll even know there are people who are like, you know, be like, oh, the deep state's just kind of a made up term. And you're like, so do you think the CIA exists? Do you think the NSA exists? Do you think the FBI exists? Do you think they do things that, do you think they're unelected? Do you think they serve from one president to the other? Do you think they do things in secrecy? Okay. Whether you think that or not, they're all facts. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the deep state.
I would say the deep state is unelected officials working against the voting public.
Well, they could be working for or against them, but unelected officials who operate in secrecy, who have extraordinary powers of government. This is there's this whole
if they're not working against the will of the people, then technically speaking, that's government working efficiently.
Maybe
that,
they
that
might,
the elected officials are putting people into power who are also representative of the people.
That's I'm not even saying whether you think what they're doing is good or bad. It's like this to me.
I think the deep state title only works if they're working nefariously and against the will of the people.
Well, the CIA is a part of the deep state. If they do something good or they do something bad, they're still a part of the deep state. Look, it's like this. It's like there's the way the mafia has a fucking, you know, a dry cleaning business or something like that. Or, you know, whatever. Like, you know, there's be like those, what was it always be like trash companies, right? Was like the big thing that would be a front for the mafia. Now, they may actually take out some trash.
Yeah.
They might You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're just a fucking, you know, waste management company that's never done anything in waste management. No, they do that. Like, you know, government does actually build roads and libraries and things like that. Like, that's the front. That's the fucking front, and they do that. And then there's the back end where they fucking kill people and do all this fucking crazy shit. And that's kind of what the deep state is in this metaphor in the government. Now, there might be a time where one of those killers gets out and starts taking out some trash. You know what I'm saying? But this is still what they are. And so whether you like what they're doing or don't like what they're doing, there is this organization. There are these many organizations that operate in the shadows with this enormous power of the state. All right. So if you accept that there is such thing as a deep state, I mean, it's just a factual reality. There is, these organizations do exist. The CIA does exist. The NSA does exist. And they often lie about what they're doing. And we've found out many times later that they were lying about what they're doing. And if you looked at all of these clips that we just played, clearly they have an adversarial relationship with Donald Trump. So if you accept that there is a deep state, they are in conflict with Donald Trump, and they have been trying these different measures to bring him down. Now, that I'm not saying that alone doesn't suggest whether or not you think it's right or wrong that they're doing this. Just that is happening. That is what's going on. I would just say to think of things this way. If you are a neocon or a Hillary Clinton supporter, or if you think that American foreign policy over the last 20 years has done an excellent job, if you're one of those people, maybe I could see an argument why you should be on the side of the deep state here. I mean, Donald Trump is threatening to upend this order, so fuck it. Let's bring him down, you know? But if you're anybody who, say, maybe you're a libertarian, or maybe you're an anti-war leftist, or maybe you're basically just anybody who thinks that these wars haven't been so good, you know, that spending trillions of dollars destroying nations in the Middle East and Northern Africa and getting nothing to show for it except a bunch of dead bodies and a bunch of debt. If you think that's not such a great bargain, if you think that the CIA hasn't been a great organization that's trustworthy, if you believe in any way that there shouldn't be organizations of the government that operate in complete secrecy. Let's just say if you even believe that before we fight a war, the American people should say no about it. Forget even like they get a say in whether we fight the war or not. But let's just say we should know. If you even believe we should know what wars we're fighting right now, anything like that. If you fall into that category at all, ask yourself, how should you feel about this? How should you feel about the CIA leading an impeachment against Donald Trump? Because that's what we've got in front of us right now. That's what's happening. And I know that I know there's libertarians who hate Donald Trump. There's left-wing people who hate Donald Trump who are kind of like, yeah, good, let's see him impeached. But I would just say it like this, right? Do you think that the CIA needs to be reined in? Do you think that wars that are started off lies are, generally speaking, bad? Because if you do, if you believe either one of those two things, here's what you got to ask yourself. If Donald Trump, who I know you don't like, let's say Donald Trump's the worst guy in the world, let's say he's a bad president, let's say he deserves to be impeached, you know? I certainly think he does, not for this bullshit, but for other legit reasons. But here's what you got to ask yourself. If this is the system, what do you think would ever happen to a president who tried to rein the CIA in? What do you think would ever happen to a president who wanted to not go along with the war party, wanted to not go along with these plans, said, hey, you know what? If we're going to fight a war, we're going to know about that war. If we're lied into a war, people are going to, you know, pay for that. Let's say you're a libertarian. There was a really good libertarian president. Let's say you're an anti-war leftist. There was a really good anti-war leftist president. What do you think the CIA would do to that guy? I mean, if they can do this to Donald Trump, what would they do to him? If you concede that we can impeach a president this way. What you're conceding is that a president can never crack down on the CIA. By the way, for any of you guys who care about, you know, other issues like the Federal Reserve, what do you think? You think they've ever met before, the CIA and the Federal Reserve? You think they're aware of who each other are? What do you think? A president who wants to crack down on any aspect of government that's completely operates in the shadows, if that shadow government can then just strike out and take a president down over this? That's what you got to ask yourself. That's the really important question. And no matter what you might think about Donald Trump, if you have any problem with the war party, with the secrecy of government, with the deep state, then you got to say, no, 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 this is funky. This is funky that a president would get impeached over this shit. So a little bit more has come out about the impeachment. And it's getting interesting. And I got to say, man, this look, who the fuck knows? But this smells just like the Trump-Russia collusion thing where we listen, man. And this is just peak 2019 that me and you, Rob, were just a couple of idiot comedians. And yet when we had the biggest story of the last 3 years, me and you called it exactly right down to a T from the very beginning. And then you had the biggest players in the media all getting it completely wrong. And like I said, we are going to get that apology. It's coming. You just got to wait. But it's going to be so good. And the more time you have to wait, it's like, oh, this is going to be so good. It's going to be so sweet. CNN's going to be like, Aaron Burnett's giving blowjobs out to everybody. It's going to be incredible. But I said from the first episode that I recorded the day after Nancy Pelosi held that dumb press conference and said she was going forward. I said, you know what I think this is I think this is a move of desperation and that Donald Trump was trying to get to the bottom of that whole, Trump-Russia investigation. I think that's what this was all about. And just the other day, yesterday to be precise, there were some more text messages released. And the text messages all seem to be about the military. Now, I will say this. It does seem to indicate that Trump was using the military aid toward Ukraine to get something. Now, one of the terms that you'll hear thrown out a lot is this quid pro quo, right? Like the idea that if Donald Trump is giving something to get something, there's the impeachable offense right there. Well, not exactly. I mean, there's nothing impeachable about a president saying, look, America's going to give you something, but you're going to have to give something to America. There is a problem if a president is saying, hey, America's going to give you something and you got to give something to me. See, that's a little bit different. And I could see where when you're talking about the Joe Biden investigation, okay, you know, it's debatable whether or not that's just in the interest of the country to get to the bottom of what a former vice president did or what his son did or what the connection was there. But I could get where when he's the front runner, you know, of the opposition party, it's okay. It's a little bit debatable. But what came out in these text messages seemed to indicate that Donald Trump's main concern with withholding the military aid wasn't about Joe Biden and the Hunter Biden investigation. You know, I made this point, but if you actually read the transcript, it wasn't like he went, look, I need the Bidens investigated. That's what I want from you to me. That was almost a throwaway thing that he just said in there. It was a thing he added on. He was like, oh, and I think we should look into this thing. You know, a lot of people are telling me that the Biden deal was like corrupt. I think we should look into that. But it seems like what we're getting more and more evidence of is that what Donald Trump wanted for the military aid was an investigation into Russian interference in the election. That's what they're saying. They wanted them to look into Russian interference in the election. But what does Donald Trump want to look into in interference? Now, not the 2020 election, the 2016 election, going backward, not interfering with something forward coming up, saying, let's get to the bottom of what actually happened in 2016. Now, why would that be? Why would he be going to Ukraine to ask about these things? Now, keep in mind what's going on here. Ukraine was fighting a war with Russia. The Obama administration sided with Ukraine. They backed up Ukraine, a notoriously corrupt country, okay, in their conflict with Russia. Trump comes in, starts saying a lot of nice things about Russia. They're like, you're colluding with the Russians. It's this whole thing. So why is he asking Ukraine about what actually happened with interference? My guess is that Donald Trump's trying to get right down to the bottom of how this whole interference thing was bullshit to begin with, and that this was all just used to predicate this bullshit investigation into Donald Trump. That's what I think this is all about. Because you ask yourself, why would they impeach right now with such flimsy evidence, with such nothing to go on? Why would they risk all of this right before an election? I think there's some people who are very worried. I think there's some very powerful people who are very worried. And I got to say, my take, and here's what I was wrong about. After the Mueller report came out, I said, Barr's not really going to investigate any of these people. All of them are going to get away with it. Nothing's going to happen. We're just going to move on and we'll never get justice for this. I still kind of feel like that's what's going to happen. But it seems more and more now like Trump and Barr were actually trying to get to the bottom of this. And that's not going to happen without a fight. Let me just say it like this, and it just came to me. This is just my take on the whole thing. But if you actually try to go after the intelligence community, they've got 6 ways till Sunday to screw you. That's my guess. Oh, there's a senator who agreed with me. Forgot. Go back to the beginning. Play that clip. All right. So that's more or less what I wanted to cover and talk about. This impeachment, and you know, oh, the other thing we talk about is the Adam Schiff thing, right? So that's another thing that came out since our last podcast, which is pretty interesting. This Adam Schiff guy, trustworthy fellow, would you say?
I would not say so.
No, not so much. So Adam Schiff, the guy who was freestyle vamping deaf poetry on the last episode, telling you about what Donald Trump said in his mind, he on national television said that he didn't even say he's never spoken to the whistleblower. He actually said we've never spoken to the whistleblower, which would kind of implicate him and his staff.
And he also was making a big stink out of, listen, if it wasn't for you finally giving us over this information, we never would have known about this whistleblower. So the unbelievable corruption that you have a whistleblower that then goes back to the agency he's trying to whistleblow on, and then they can keep that information from anyone ever finding out about that. That is horrible for our national security, for our justice system. But then lo and behold, this whole thing was kickstarted when the whistleblower went to Adam Schiff first and said, hey, and now maybe he did or didn't meet with Adam Schiff, but he definitely met with
Adam Schiff's staff. Yeah.
And Adam Schiff definitely weighed in on this. And basically, it went to the football coach. Hey, how do you want me to play this?
Yeah.
And who is the whistleblower in the end? Was it a part of Donald Trump's? No, it's the fucking CIA. The exact people that they're investigating right now.
The exact intelligence community who Chuck Schumer told us had 6 ways till Sunday to screw you over.
Well, it looks like they're undermining William Barr's investigation.
Yeah.
Remember all that? Undermining investigations?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Looks like the CIA is undermining an investigation.
That's right. That's right. I forgot that was supposed to be a bad thing, at least when the wrong people do it. But so if you were to say that this is a deep state kind of anti-Trump political move, I mean, it would kind of fit into that narrative that this CIA guy goes to the opposition Democrat congressman who just so happens to be the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. He goes to his staff, at least, and asks them what to do here, and they tell him to go file for whistleblower status, to lawyer up, to do all these things, to bring, and then it comes to an impeachment. So this is all, this thing stinks. It stinks of deep state nefarious activity. And and Schiff, of course, as we already knew, is just a bald-faced liar. I mean, just came on national television, said we've never had any contact with this guy, and at least according to the New York Times reporting the next day, his staff certainly has. You know, if you know, he was certainly, at the best case, he was lying by omission by going like, oh, we've never had any contact with him.
It'll be a part of the CNN apology.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll be included in there. I mean, they've taken this much time, they're gonna cover everything, Rob. Yeah, it's this thing stinks and stinks more the more we find out about it. And I got to say, I'm enjoying the show. I can't wait to find out more about it. All right. That's pretty much what we wanted to cover today. It was a little bit of a heavy episode, so we figured for you good people who listen, I'm going to leave you with a crazy bitch watch.
Ooh. Hey, y'all crazy bitch.
Now, hold on. Let me just say, before we even start this, this is a monumentous moment in the history of Crazy Bitch Watch, because this is the first ever Crazy Bitch Watch that features Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where she is not the crazy bitch. She is, in fact, the second craziest bitch in the room at this moment. Never thought I would see the day, but here I am. You know, it's a lot of crazy shit happening in the world. AOC is actually the reasonable person in this video. Let's play.
Your hands, please.
Okay. Great. But we're not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
I'm voting troll.
Right there.
I'm voting troll.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I have it in a dead heat between mentally ill or troll.
I got troll.
But I actually thought, I, you know, they took the microphone away, but I wanted to see where she was going with all of that. I mean, at least she's got a solution. Doesn't involve getting rid of oil.
I didn't even think she was. I think when she got up there, she didn't think she was going to have to talk for as long as she did.
She was like, man,
they're really giving me the floor on this one.
She was like, I was sure after my first eat the babies, yeah, they were going to take this microphone away, but I've gotten four eat the babies, yeah, out there, and now I'm just showing off my shirt for a while. We're going. But look, I'm split. If she's a troll, she's an excellent troll. If she's a mentally ill person, she's an excellent mentally ill person.
She's real good at that.
Either way, she's nailing something, okay? But what isn't it amazing that you get up there and go, so AOC's whole thing, right, is like, we have a few years, right? The planet's going to be extinct. She said this many times. And she just goes, we have a few months. And it's like, really? They're both on equal scientific footing right there. Neither of these things are even close to true. There you go. I did Ari's podcast, he said to me, cause I was saying, I'm not really worried about climate change. And he goes, you're really not worried about carbon emissions, Dave. You ever heard of Venus? And I was like, yes, I'm loosely familiar.
Is that where women are from?
And he goes, yes. Oh yeah, that's right. And it's like, well, are you telling me we're a few years away from being Venus? Yes, I do. I'd imagine at some point the sun will explode and destroy the Earth, but I think we might have a few billion years before we get to that point. So, like, I'm cool with all of that. But why not? Let's just make it a few months. I mean, why not? And then if we do have to make it a few months, really, is there any other option other than eating babies? Now, you might ask yourself, if we were all going to die in a few months anyway, wouldn't you maybe not want to spend your last few months eating babies? That's probably not the best way to go out. I mean, I'm going to have extra red meat if we're all dying in a few months because I don't really trust them. And I like that she said bombing Russia wouldn't be enough. Like, as if, first off, China's who you'd want to bomb, really, not Russia. But the problem with bombing people to clean up the environment is that bombs themselves, not so great for the environment. So we're really fucked. We're in a tough situation. And she thinks we should start eating babies. The left has been pretty big on abortion for a while, but how much fun is abortion after you've already been doing it for like 40 years? Let's start eating these babies, really having some, really making a difference. Also, from my understanding, couldn't you just like sterilize people and then eat vegetables? My point is the actual eating of the babies seems unnecessary. But here's the greatest thing about this video. It's even better than the crazy woman, is that AOC now has to respond to the crazy bitch. So here's AOC.
We'll go ahead. Okay. No, we'll go ahead. It's so no.
Oh my God! Just already? Can I just say already? That AOC, that crazy eyes face when she has to be the sane one now. You know how sometimes like
she's
when
like that's like, supposed to be my thing.
Yes. You know when someone else panics and it makes you calm?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she's here's when someone else goes crazy, it actually makes AOC a little bit saner. Yeah. She's like, man, I'm used to being the craziest guy in the room. Now it's you, and I got to go like, wow, okay.
Todd Glass has a really funny joke about that. Maybe we could find it. It's worth playing, but it definitely exists, the role reversal, where someone else is real mad, and then all of a sudden you got to be like, no, it's okay, person.
No, it's unbelievable. It completely exists.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been in a relationship, a marriage, anything like that, you'll know. If one person, their attitude tends to... You tend to not mirror whatever the opposite of that is. Like you tend to have the
even
opposite.
It out.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why you got to be the angry cunt first. You got to get there first if you're in a relationship.
Oh, if you're
right
furious,
away. Yeah. You got
to
plant.
Hey, what are we doing here? And then if your wife's like really scared about something, you right away go like, okay.
No, but
let's
I'm saying
take a breath,
you got
to calm down.
You got to plant the flag early that you're going to be the angry cunty one, because otherwise you got to live with an angry cunt for your whole relationship.
Rob Bernstein's keys to a successful marriage from a single guy. I love it. All right, here, let's play AOC.
Thank you. So I think,
she's a troll. She's definitely a troll.
Yeah.
All right.
To us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present.
So eat the babies.
Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope. Okay.
Oh, pause. Isn't that amazing? If that is a troll, what an amazing reaction to get out of AOC. First off, you got her on record going, well, we have more than a few months. I mean, let's not get crazy about this thing. And then she goes, we got lots of solutions. There's lots of things we could do. Oh, thank you, AOC. We'll try to keep that in mind going forward. Look at that. We've got some progress out of you. We've got some time. We've got some different solutions. So let's not start eating babies just yet. But yeah, I do. After that last little part where she goes,
troll.
I thought you cared. I'm smelling troll all over that one. By the way, excellent troll. Grade A. I love it. All right, that's our episode for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back, of course, on Monday with a brand new episode. Peace.